Think Again with Borderlands Cooperative.
Join us for critical conversations about things that matter.
Every Friday at 10 a.m. on 3CR Community Radio, 855 AM on your dial.
And 3CR Digital, streaming live at 3cr.org.au.
So together, let's think again about important matters affecting us, like economics,
politics,
education,
health,
climate,
and what we can do about it all.
Welcome to our 351st episode of Think Again, a program of Borderlands Cooperative, an organisation working for social change for about 29 years now. We're broadcasting live from the 3CR studio on the unceded land of the Wurundjeri people of the Kulin Nation. I'm Jennifer Burrell, your host today, with Jacques having a week off. But today we do have with us in the studio Claire Wheatley, who is Vice President of Friends of Mary Creek, and she's going to tell us about a community campaign to create a regional natural park in Wallen. Welcome to the program, Claire.
Thanks, Jennifer. Thanks very much for inviting me.
Real pleasure. Firstly, Claire, can you tell us a bit about your background, particularly in relation to your interest in protecting and regenerating natural environments?
Yeah, so my background is I'm a scientist, but the science I do is nothing to do with protecting natural environments. It's all in the lab. And so my interest is really just something that I've always had, an interest in the natural world and plants and looking after things. And when I moved to Melbourne nearly 10 years ago, I ended up living near Mary Creek, learned about Friends of Mary Creek, started showing up at events, learning about the history of community action on the creek, and wanted to get more involved in helping to protect the creek and improve the health of the creek. So I'd seen, you know, people have been working as a community for over 50 years along Mary Creek to get it to where it is now. And my thinking is, well, what am I doing to help protect and enhance the creek over the next 30 or 40 years?
Thank you. That's a great background. Thank you. And Friends of Mary Creek is a great organisation, which I'm in myself, but not just for that reason.
Yeah, it's filled with really great people who are really passionate about the creek and bring lots of different experiences and knowledge to caring for the creek.
It's true, actually. If you want to meet really good people, mm-hmm. It's very heartening to hang out with them, really, and while planting trees and weeding and, meeting they're really great company.
Every time we have a working bee, we turn around and go, oh, what great people who came along. It's a real social thing as well as an environmental thing.
It's wonderful. Mm-hmm. And you can eat and drink too. And so anyway, moving on, today you're going to tell us about the campaign to create the Wallen Wallen Regional Park, But before going to details of the campaign, maybe you could describe the area that would make up this park and perhaps what it could become if the campaign is successful. So,
yeah, I can do that. So the area that we're talking about is in the very northern part of the Mary Creek catchment, up around Wallen. This is still Wurundjeri country, and, you know, has been, you know, part of Wurundjeri culture and tradition for tens of thousands of years. And the phrase Wallen Wallen is Wurundjeri, that means something like circular body of water or bowl of water. And so this area has quite a lot of low-lying land and it can hold a lot of water. And so before colonisation, there were extensive wetlands that would be filled with water for probably at least half of the year, lots of waterways leading to and from those wetlands. And so obviously a great food bowl for people, a great place for animals and birds and wildlife. So that's sort of the water aspect of it, but it's not just about water. The land itself was formed by volcanic activity. So it's the northeasternmost part of the Victorian volcanic plains, which extend all the way to the South Australian border. And these volcanic plains were formed over, you know, tens or hundreds of thousands of years ago by a lot of volcanic activity. And so if you drive up the Hume Highway towards Wallen or beyond, you'll see these little these hills that kind of punctuate the landscapes, and these grassy hills are actually volcanic cones, Mount Fraser, Bald Hill, Green Hill as we know them now. So they're sort of a relic of these volcanic times. So they're really amazing features of the landscape. So you've got these volcanic cones and then you've got the wetlands surrounding them, these really low-lying lands. And then you also have the other relic of the geological activity, which is stony rises. So these are part of what's left of lava flows, and they sort of rise, these stony landscapes a few metres above the wetland landscapes, and really, you know, quite different ecologies because they're quite dry and stony compared to the damp wetlands. And they're also important places for Wurundjeri people. So because I think they were dry and more accessible compared to the wetlands, there's a lot of probably knowledge and culture that was passed on at these sites as well. So all of these aspects of the landscape are important to Wurundjeri people. It's an incredibly diverse landscape. It's hard to see now because the wetlands were drained for agricultural purposes in the early part of the 20th century. So we've lost, at least for the moment, that sense of, you know, wide wetlands and lots of bird life. But we can protect this land and then we can restore it to something like it was pre-colonisation.
And there still are remnant wetlands. There still is flooding there that that attracts wildlife and birds and frogs. And
yeah, absolutely. There's still little pockets of nationally threatened seasonal herbaceous wetland. So there's pockets of that with remnant endangered plants there. It's home to things like the growling grass frog, which is an endangered animal. There's still pockets of grassland. So it's not like we've lost everything. There's still some values there, and we can, you know, protect those and also restore some of those as well.
Yeah, well, I can say I visited the site probably about a month ago, and I went on an event organised by the campaign to save these, to establish this park, and I stood on the top of Green Hill, so anyone who has can look that up, Green Hill, and I can say it is stunning. So I'm standing on a volcanic cone on this green hill, and the vista is amazing. So you can sort of see water almost in a crescent, looking south. It's quite high, stunning views of other volcanic cones, and then down you can see certain waterways, and correct me where I'm wrong, how
you're describing it. So you've got sort of 360 degree views from
yes.
Green Hill. So Green Hill itself wouldn't actually be in the parkland, but it's a great vantage point to looking at other aspects of the parkland. So you look south to Mount Fraser, which is quite a attractive volcanic cone. You know, further south you're looking to Melbourne, and yes, so you can look down and you can imagine this low-lying landscape of where wetlands would be. And in October 2022, when we had that flooding you know, in Melbourne, like on the Maribyrnong, there was a lot of flooding, but, you know, also had high waters in Mary Creek. If you were up on Green Hill at that time, you could see these extensive wetlands. So even though the wetlands have been drained for agricultural purposes, when you get a lot of rain, you can still get water accumulating there. So you can see what it would look like if we actually allowed water to return to this landscape.
And it is absolutely stunning. And I can say, standing on Green Hill, looking south toward the city, Melbourne being about 45 kilometres roughly.
Something like that.
So I'm looking south toward the city, and it is just so, the view is stunning, and it's just so peaceful. But when you look down to the left, I can see the new I won't call them McMansions, but those new housing. So that brings me to my next question, which I sort of know the answer to, but I'd like you to elaborate. So this beautiful landscape and habitat is under threat. So can you tell us, where's the threat coming from, and why do we need to stop it?
Yeah. So this area is part of the Melbourne growth boundary, and so there are plans for urban and industrial development, and that's going to happen. You know, there's not really anything we can do to stop that, and of course we know that we're in a housing crisis, so we're not saying don't build houses.
Yes.
What we are saying is, let's do a really great job of planning this urban and industrial development and make sure that right from the very start we're reserving land for open space, for biodiversity, for nature. We're preserving, you know, sites that are important in terms of Aboriginal cultural heritage as well. So, you know, the threat is that as these planning processes happen, they happen in a very piecemeal way. So they're sort of within sort of the area of the parkland. There's about eight or so precincts that still need to be planned, and they're going to be planned individually. But the parkland itself that's been outlined in a feasibility study, it crosses all of these boundaries. And so what we want to make sure is, before all of these precinct plans are done, let's establish or commit to this parkland so we know where the boundaries are and they're taken into account right from the very start of this planning process. And so we don't end up with a very reduced, chopped up, disconnected parkland in 10 or 20 years when all of this precinct planning is done.
Yeah, and as we know, there's a lot of commercial interests.
Mm-hmm.
There is a housing crisis, but there's also a lot of commercial interests in these developments. And if you don't go on the front foot fighting for this, it probably won't happen.
No, exactly. And so we know, you know, there's lots of land banking that's happening in the area in anticipation of development. And so, you know, the concern is that the longer we leave this, the more the price of land goes up. Now, some of the land is already owned by, say, Yarra Valley Water, Melbourne Water, National Intermodal. So it's not, and a lot of the land is also flood prone. So not all of it can be developed. But, you know, for the private land that, you know, would ultimately need to be purchased to be part of this parkland, the value of that land is only going to increase the longer we leave it. So it makes it harder as well to create the parkland. So certainly urgent to get ahead of all of this development.
Yeah, so thank you for outlining this. We might just go to some music and come back. Okay.
Life, while it falls from sky, rain beginning of life, like our kinship ties, in Mother Earth's eyes, river banks flow wide, fingerlings swim wild, making Mother Moon smile, hasn't rained in a while. Walla is blood, Walla gives flood, Walla is life. Gotta get law right, limitless undercurrents, pushing, pulling, pumping, gliding, sliding, mulling, trickles from the nipples of sacred springs, it's an animal thing. Kookaburra sings, and the kookaburra sings. In the gubba side, 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 in the gubba side. In the gubba side, 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 in the gubba side.
You're listening to Think Again on 3CR Community Radio on 855 AM on your dial and streaming live at 3cr.org.au. Today, Claire Weekly is telling us about the campaign to create the Wallen Wallen Regional Park. Before the break, Claire was describing this beautiful natural landscape in Wallen, which features wetlands, waterways, grasslands, and astonishing grassy hills that are volcanic cones, which I've stood on one of, Green Hill. And she's also describing the stony rises formed by old lava flows. So there's a lot of ancient lava flows on evidence in this area. And all of this being habitat for numerous birds, frogs, and other native flora and fauna, and some of them endangered as well. So let's now talk about the campaign to save and revive this natural area. So, Claire, can you tell us about the Wallen Wallen Regional Park Alliance? How did you all come to join forces and what are you trying to achieve?
Yeah, well, the Alliance is an alliance of groups that have been working together for a long time, and we've been advocating for the parkland in various ways over the last 15 or so years. The state government committed to a feasibility study in 2018. That was completed in 2022, but they didn't release it until 2025.
Mm.
And lots of other parklands that had had feasibility studies sort of in the same batch, they'd been committed to, but Wallen Wallen languished. And so we knew we needed to push harder to get this parkland given the urgency. So we came together to get more organised and to have a more, you know, coherent approach to advocating for this parkland and asking the state government to commit to it.
And sorry, who are the other people in the Alliance?
They are the Merri Creek Management Committee, mm-hmm. Wallen Environment Group, and the Beam Mitchell Environment Group. And so that means, you know, Friends of Merri Creek, while we care about the whole creek catchment, a lot of our membership and historically our focus has been in the southern part of the catchment. The Wallen Environment Group and the Beam Mitchell Sire Environment Group are local to that Wallen and upper catchment area, so they bring a lot of that local perspective. And then the Merri Creek Management Committee, you know, have a role of caring for the entire creek, and so they bring a lot of technical and expert knowledge to the Alliance.
Yeah, so there's members of your Alliance, and quite a few people seeing the benefits of having this preserved as a park. Mm-hmm. So can you tell us... what are some of the benefits of
doing
this?
Well, there are the benefits for the people who are going to be living in this area in decades to come in terms of access to open space, access to nature. Mm. And we know that's important for our physical and our mental health, as well as, you know, I think our cultural health and our identity as communities, to be able to go, this is our parkland, this is the landscape that we live on, the country we live on, and being able to connect to and understand that.
Yeah, and even for new people coming into the area and the new housing. Mm-hmm. They don't want those people will be enjoying the natural surroundings that they're in, and the wildlife and the birds, and they don't really want lots of houses like them.
Yeah,
surrounded by lots of houses.
Exactly.
Like
I think a lot of people moving to the area don't realise the extent of the development that's going to be happening in coming decades.
Yeah. So there's the amenity for local people, and I believe. It also has a flood buffering function.
Indeed. So especially those of us living in the southern part of the catchment, while it would be wonderful to go up and visit the Wallen Regional Parklands and, you know, visit those wetlands and see that bird life coming back, the immediate sort of benefit for those of us in the south is being able to hold water in that space in Wallen. We talked about the extensive wetlands. As we get more urban industrial development, more hard surfaces, more runoff, where is that water going to go? And so we think that protecting and then restoring these wetlands gives us an opportunity to collect a lot of that stormwater in a sort of a natural way of managing water and preventing it from, you know, flooding down Merri Creek. We know that the health of Merri Creek is quite poor, and that's because there's a lot of water that flows into Merri Creek off of all of the urban landscape surrounding it, and we're going to be adding more of that. So how are we protecting the health of the Merri Creek? How are we limiting flooding issues downstream? Because obviously eventually the water gets channeled into these much narrower channels downstream when you're talking about the inner north of Melbourne.
Yeah, the narrow, and the water will be flooding further down, as you say. Yeah. I think for a lot of people it would be counterintuitive that there's been all these works done in the park to control the water, to channel the water, to stop flooding, right? Mm-hmm. So it could be used for farmland in the past and also housing, I guess. But can you explain how a parkland like this actually, the preserving wetlands and creating wetlands, it actually helps to filter the water so there's no flooding? It's a bit counterintuitive.
Yeah. Well, so at the moment the channeling is basically... To farm that area, you don't want water sitting there for 6 months of the year. So the channels basically drain into Merri Creek. Mm-hmm. So water flows much more quickly into Merri Creek with those channels. So if we block up those channels and retain the water in the landscape up north, then yes, it prevents it from immediately flooding downstream, and you get that infiltration, filtering of the water, and of course you create all of that wetland habitat that's great for bird life.
Yeah, I think filtering of the water, so it's filtering through the soil. Mm-hmm. And also, I understand that helps protect the groundwater.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So there's a huge number of benefits sort of thinking about water in the space, and that's the main thing. But the other benefits to think of are with this parkland, it's sort of the final piece in the puzzle of having a connected parkland all along Merri Creek. Mm. And that also means having a shared trail all along Merri Creek.
Wow.
So, you know, a connected walking trail, connected cycling trail. Ultimately, the trail could also connect us to Bendigo. So there's a Bendigo Heathcote rail trail that's sort of in planning. So we could connect these two things up, and you could have a cycling and walking trail between Bendigo and Melbourne.
How stunning. And of course, the other benefit I've heard of is in urban design, we know that our cities are becoming real heat. What do you call them? Heat holders of heat?
Yeah, well, there's the urban heat effect, heat traps. Yeah,
heat traps. And to have more water actually... I understand would even help surrounding suburbs keep cooler.
Exactly. Yeah. More water. More green space. And you can see this. I've seen a map of Merribeck and Merri Creek trailing through Merribeck, and you see like imaging showing the heat effect, essentially, and you see how all the urban spaces are so hot, and then that ribbon of the creek is so much cooler.
It's sort of ticks so many boxes, doesn't it, really?
Yeah.
And I guess what the Alliance is doing is really asking for planners to think ahead and not let land be developed, decisions be made by developers largely in an ad hoc way.
Yeah, and these short-term decisions, think of the long-term. You know, a lot of the focus when we talk to MPs about is, well, what is it going to cost? And, you know, yes, it is going to cost money to acquire some of the land over a long period of time, but what are the benefits of acquiring that land? What are the benefits in terms of flood mitigation, you know, reduced infrastructure to deal with the water? What are the benefits for the health, the social and the mental health of the new communities that are going to be built in this area?
Yeah, and also, I guess, conciliation with Wurundjeri people.
Yeah, exactly. You know, with treaty, I think, you know, and so I think it's really focused people's minds on opportunities for that kind of reconciliation, but also the opportunity to do things differently to the way we did it a couple of hundred years ago when we were developing Melbourne. You know, are we actually going to take this opportunity to understand Wurundjeri connection to country, the culture that's there, the important sites, and are we actually going to take the opportunity to protect these sites?
And appreciate that they were doing it for probably 60,000 years.
Exactly, that there's a lot to learn. And we have, you know, spoken to elders of the Wurundjeri Cultural Heritage Unit about the park as well. And so hearing about sort of what they see as the opportunities as well for them to continue to connect to country and to share knowledge with future generations is an important part of the park too.
Fabulous. So I'm sure a lot of listeners are getting very excited now. People who have phones are probably looking it up, the Wallen Wallen Regional Park. And but it sounds like there's a pretty pressing deadline to get the Victorian government to commit to the Wallen Wallen Regional Park. So how can listeners get behind this?
They can help show community support by signing our petition before the end of this month. So if you go to wallenwallenrp.org.au, so Wallen is W-A-L-L-A-N, we've got a link to our petition there, so that helps us show community support. We've got over 2,500 signatures at the moment, and we're meeting with MPs and ministers to advocate for the park now. So your petition signature now helps us show community support for that. And then you continue, you know, over coming months, continue to follow the campaign through that website. We have an Instagram, Wallen Wallen RP, where you can learn about more events like the one you went to, Jennifer, to explore the park and other ways to get involved and support it.
I recommend it. Of course, we can put those links to our program page. And I always say to listeners too, who, you know, we shouldn't take for granted everyone's digitally connected. They're actually people who are digitally excluded. So, but I always say, just go to your library, go to your library, tell the librarian that you want to connect or learn about the Wallen Wallen Regional Park, and the librarian will help you connect, and they can show you the way to the petition, and you can also sign the petition there. And I guess the other thing too is, this is an action for, we're trying to influence the Victorian government. So if you can contact your local MP, Victorian MP, and tell them this is something you care about and it matters to you, it has benefits for everyone generally, but not just people in Wallen and not just along the Mary Creek, really.
No, I think it's, you know, doing this kind of planning properly, I think, can set a precedent for how we do the other things in the future. And, you know, access to this parkland will be for everyone.
Yeah, and once we do this, it's there for forever, for future generations. And what a better way for not just anyone, but for a politician to have a legacy.
Exactly.
You know, say, I played, like people do with the Franklin River in Tasmania, I played a key role in preserving this and regenerating this beautiful regional park.
Yeah, I think it can be a great legacy for all of us involved.
So I'm going to send a link of this program to my local MP. So before we go, was there anything that you would like to add?
I think just something that I've been thinking about is I'd love to see Brolgas back in the Mary catchment, and I think maybe an extensive, you know, wetland restored up in there would be an opportunity to bring Brolgas back, and I'd love to see that happen in my lifetime.
Yeah.
So this could be a way to do that.
Okay, well, we'll listen to this in years to come, and we'll see if the Brolgas happened. And just a small thing too, I think this is a great opportunity to get school children involved, mm-hmm. you know, school groups and school children, not just educationally, but really understanding the value. You know, we are part of nature, mm-hmm. and we forget that. We're not part, really born part of concrete.
Yeah, exactly. And this park is all about connection. You know, Wurundjeri have this ongoing connection to country. This parkland will connect north and south. It will connect the creek. It will connect lots of different features, and it will connect communities as well.
So thank you, Claire. Thanks so much for coming onto the program today and explaining this. For me, it's been very inspiring. I think it's very inspirational and inspiring. And I think we really have to make this happen. So everyone, please get on board.
Great. Thanks so much for the opportunity to share it.
You're very, very welcome.
The law is part of our everyday lives, including when we buy something, use a service, have a job, or rent a house. The law can be used to help protect and support families when there is violence in the home or disputes over parenting arrangements. Sometimes we might need to understand the law to navigate specific government systems like Centrelink, getting a residency visa, or if we come into contact with the police. Community legal centres provide free, quality legal advice and assistance to help people with everyday legal problems. We focus on working with people who are experiencing disadvantage, such as financial hardship, family violence, homelessness, and discrimination. Community legal centres are independent, non-government organisations and can be found across Victoria and Australia. If you're experiencing a legal problem, your local community legal centre may be able to help. To find a community legal centre near you, visit the Federation of Community Legal Centres Victoria at www.fclc.org.au. A 3CR supporter.
Thanks for supporting Think Again by tuning into the program and to 3CR Community Radio. If you'd like to send any comments about this program, please email Borderlands, info@borderlandscooperative.net, and we will put the links to actions you can take on the Wallen Wallen Regional Park on our program page too. Our past programs are available by podcast on a variety of platforms and via the 3CR website at 3cr.org.au. Meanwhile, to finish our program today, please enjoy Milky Mana by King Stingray.
You've been listening to a 3CR podcast produced in the studios of independent community radio station 3CR in Melbourne, Australia. For more information, go to allthews.3cr.org.au.